And now, stay tuned for the most exciting, new, sexy radio show on the planet. The Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. Now, I know that some of you are probably wondering, why does my name and voice sound so familiar to you? Well, that's because for over 20 years, I was the tax lady, and you saw me on TV literally 1,000 times because I was doing commentary for Fox and Fox Business and CNN and the Today Show and MSNBC. But the great news is I got a radio show that's kicking ass on iHeartMedia. And the great news is I've got to tell you that today's show is really important because I'm going to talk about the unhealthy drama that's consuming the Republican Party, and especially Senator John McCain, Senator Bob Corker, and Senator Jeff Flake, after they blasted and denounced our president in what I like to refer to as a very public and humiliating manner. I mean, if this was the Oscar award season for TV shows, which my mom loves and is addicted to, we would nominate Congress because they sure know how to act like they actually care about you. But in reality, what they care about is their selfish, personal agenda, even if it divides our country further and ruins our great American brand. You see, this isn't a daycare center, and it's not middle school. So we need to focus on what really matters, which is you, your taxes, your health insurance, your family, your kids, your jobs, your retirement, and of course, your safety. You see, we need to get something actually done. Because you know what? I'm not seeing the love fest that our president is referring to. Instead, you know what I see? I see a bunch of spoiled brats fighting and dividing our country at a time when we need unity and we need legislation passed. Now, I'm not sure how you guys are feeling this morning, or if you're wondering what in the hell is going on in Washington, especially with Senator John McCain, who I greatly respect, Senator and Foreign Relations Committee Chair Bob Corker, and of course, Jeff Flake. Because you know what? These people have deserted the president's agenda, and it's like nothing I've ever seen before. Yep, it's that bad. I mean, I know it's beautiful and it's the weekend and all, but I can't even imagine for a moment what it's like to be in a bad relationship for another year, or to stay in a job that you know is going to end, because that's what's going on with these three senators. So my first question for all of you this morning is pretty simple. Are you ready? How can Congress, with this many disgruntled and disillusioned senators who hate our president, how are they going to pass any meaningful legislation, including tax reform, including health care reform, including criminal injustice reform and infrastructure reform? Because I realize hate is a strong word, but it sure feels like that to me. Or maybe you know what it is? It's a start of a rebellion, a revolt that's going to cause the Republican Party to lose control of everything that we have worked so hard to achieve. After all, we've got five Republican senators who bash our president. And you know what? The bashing and the drama is only getting worse, and it's an embarrassment, and I want it to stop. After all, Senator Corker, you are the Foreign Relations Chair. You're well-regarded, and you're well-respected. So how can you call our president unfit, dishonest, someone you would never support again, and you even called him dangerous? I mean, isn't protecting the integrity of our government more important to what you feel, Senator Corker? Because I do not understand how you can sling smelly mud at a time when this country needs you the most. Which leads me to you, House Speaker Paul Ryan, and you, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. You people are an embarrassment to our country because you continue to ignore the seriousness of the Republican Party dysfunction and bickering. I mean, what are you guys doing about it? Here's what I need you to do about it. Are you ready? I want you to have a weekly bowling party with the Republican senators. I want you to get kegs of beer and I want you to party. And if you don't like to bowl, you know what I'd like you to do? Have a dance event over at my peace camp in NorCal, because we need to bring the Republican Party together. After all, if you continue to sweep this under the rug, I promise you, you know what's going to happen? Next November, you people are going to trip, you're going to fall, and it's going to hurt real badly. Because here's what you need to know. I can't wait another day for tax reform, and neither can taxpayers. And I can't wait another day for healthcare reform, and either can our great superhero taxpayers. I mean, look what's going on in North Korea, for God's sakes. Those people are threatening to bomb us every second of the day. And you people are fighting? And you people are calling our president a liar? And you're calling him dangerous and unfit? Shame on you. If we don't put a stop to this political cattiness and disgusting name-calling, the Republican Party is not going to get anything done. And you know what that's going to make our president? He's going to be the most lame duck president in our country's history. And I talked about this. Do you guys remember? I brought this up in February, and I told you my fear. I told you that my fear is that our team in Washington is not going to come together. In fact, let's be honest, guys. Can you name one team that has come together in our country? You ready? I can. And it's you, Los Angeles Dodgers. Congratulations, man. You are representing the National League well. But here's the problem. Your manager, Dave Roberts, he's not our president, and neither is Clayton Kershaw. You see, we don't want a president to be a lame duck president. Do you? Let's talk about the people who support Donald Trump, all right? Because it's been 9 months, and here's what you need to know. His polls and his numbers, they look as sexy as that yummy girl on the beach in Malibu. And they're only getting sexier. People love our president. So it doesn't matter that you, senators, are bashing him and you're ruining our brand. Our president has got the support of his people. So what I want to know is, how many other Republicans are going to jump ship? How many of you are going to bash our president too? Because let's not forget, senators, you are supposed to be role models to our children. You are supposed to be the badass leaders who are going to get something done. Now, let's talk about tax reform. Our president stood there claiming that he had a love fest with people. And my hope is that this love fest involved two of the sexiest words in the English dictionary, and that is tax reform. Because I'm telling you right now, if we don't get tax reform done by the end of this year, let me tell you about the stock market. You see, I think that stock market is gonna crash. I think if we don't get something on the books that is sexy, we're gonna have a serious financial crisis. And then how's that gonna make you feel, senators? Or what about World War III? You see, you're talking about a president being unstable and dangerous and utterly dishonest. So are we talking World War III here? Because that's what it sounds like to me. All right, now seriously, this is what I want to say to our president, and it's really important. You see, President Trump, I know you listen to the Ronnie Deutsch radio show, and I appreciate your support. But here's what I need you to do. Can you please defend the values of our nation and make a moral plea to the Republican Party to stop the nonsense, stop the bickering, and stop the drama and name-calling that goes on in junior high school? Because you know what we need? We need everyone to work together, and we need you to pass comprehensive tax reform, or the middle class is going to continue to suffer. You see, Mr. President, you told me that tax reform was going to happen by the end of the year, and I believed you. We need a victory, man. Our country doesn't need a participation trophy. We need the first place prize, right? That's what we need. So the bottom line, Mr. President, is that I want you to lead our country up, not lead our country down. That's what great leaders like yourself do. All right, everybody. I know that I get insane and crazy when I talk about politics. That's because I want you to pay less money in taxes. I want you to have comprehensive health care. I want you to be able to own a home and live the American dream. I got a great show for you today, people. We're going to talk about real estate, and we're going to talk about courage, the courage to stand up and say what you believe. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
You're listening to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this. And now back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. Here's Ronnie.
Hello and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. Now, for those of you who just turned on the radio, I want you to roll down the window and scream out loud, woohoo! That's because I've got Brandon Hines in studio. And you know what we're talking about? You. And we're talking about courage. So, Brandon, I want you to tell me first and foremost, what is courage?
Woo-hoo. I want to be able to scream woohoo real quick.
Okay.
But I guess there's all kinds of ways to look at it. But overall, the definition of courage is mental or moral strength to persevere, whether that's fear, danger that you're facing, a difficult task at work, a difficult boss, a difficult employee, the courage to face it. And that's the moral or the mental strength that you need. A lot of people think that courage is like someone who's brave. It is. But what courage really is facing something that you're afraid of, or getting up in the morning and knowing there's something that's monumental that you have to knock out and being able to chunk size it down to conquer it. That's courage. And that's what kind of expands you in life. Your courage is built by how you expand or deflate the courage you have. If you get up in the morning and something's really bad that you have to face and you jump right in it, you're building more courage. If you pull away from it, you're shrinking your courage. So my thing with my clients, and a lot of the times on the AskBrandonNow.com, people are asking me, how do I face this, or what would you do? And just find that courage in yourself to look it right in the face and go for it.
You see, Brandon, the reason I'm asking you about this topic is because of what's transpiring in Washington. You know, you've got senators that are standing up, Brandon, and they are saying things that are shocking to me. I mean, some people call them courageous, but for me, Brandon, I'm concerned because it could affect our legislative agenda like tax reform. So what I want to know is, how do you consult, advise your clients to have courage in the most turbulent of times?
Well, I think I got this from my grandmother, but it's a John Wayne quote. So John Wayne, you know who he is, famous cowboy, famous actor.
Of course.
Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. When you're getting into business in the morning and something is really huge that's bothering you, you could go home. Just turn around, go back to bed. And you could probably not have any sleep because you'll toss and turn worrying about it. Or you can live in the now and saddle up. Get in there and do the best you can. I was reading a quote yesterday that even if you go slow, you're still moving forward. So if you saddle up and go knock out one piece of it, it's that much less you have to face. So I tell my clients, it doesn't matter how much of the task you complete. It's whether or not you're moving it forward.
Yeah, and the thing is, Brandon, you talk about saddling up. You talk about someone being scared to death, but still saddling up. And so we talk of courage in turbulent, fearful, stressful times. Do you believe, Brandon, that it's easier to have courage when things in your life are going great? The marriage is great. The health is great. Business is great. What are your thoughts about courage when things are great versus courage when things aren't so great?
See, I don't think courage builds when it's great. I think courage builds when you have adversity, when you're challenged to do something, when you're afraid of going in that uncomfortable area, you build more courage by doing it. So for me, I live in the now. And what I mean by that is I don't reflect too much on the past and I don't try to look too far in the future. I try to conquer each day one by one. Like we talked about before, you said, what if it was the last day you could live? And I said, what if it was the best day you could live? So every day that I get up, I look at it like this morning Joel Osteen said on the radio, what if you looked at your loved ones like it was their last day every day? What would you say differently to them? And just live that way, like going after each struggle one by one like it was your last chance to conquer it and just knock it out.
It's interesting, though, Brandon, that you talk about building courage during very turbulent times. When I was being sued by our awful governor and I was facing, Brandon, 1,609 separate criminal counts from the worst senator in the country, and that's you, Kamala Harris, I stood up to the evil empire, Brandon. I had the courage to fight back. Where and how do we teach courage, Brandon, to our youth? As Joel Osteen said, if it was their last days, what would we do differently? But how do we teach kids to have courage, Brandon, especially with so many bullies in the world?
Believe in yourself. Trust your body. Trust your mind. Stand up for what you know is right. Don't let somebody push you around. If you know something's wrong, then face it. If you have to speak up to somebody, do it. Courage isn't just, I'm a brave person, I was born that way. That's not how it works. Courage, like you said, it's that moment that fear is in front of you and you decide to take it straight on. It's that moment that fear is ahead of you, but you're willing to walk right into it.
You realize, Brandon, in those fearful moments, it's like this flight or fight mentality. And you talked about the guy getting on the horse and he could just drive back home. What happens in that moment, though, Brandon, when we are at that crossroads of that choice, turn around and give up or march ahead?
It's your critter brain. Your critter brain sits in your mind and knows that we've never survived this. It's afraid of you going into it. Every time you build courage, your critter brain feels more safer in situations. If you'd been through 20 businesses that had failed, your critter brain would be less responsive to opening up a new one because it's been through all the crap that you've been through. But if you've never been in that situation before, your fight or flight mode is going off saying, we've never survived that. What are you going to do? Don't do that. But if you stop for a moment and say, I'm going to conquer it, then the very next time you have courage to face that. Your critter brain is there to protect you. Your fight or flight mode is what they call it. It's there to make sure that you survive. If you've survived something, it's not scary anymore. So courage is always going to trigger your fight or flight mode. If adversity is coming your way and you need to have courage, your fight or flight's going to be like ringing off like a flashing light saying, wait, we've never survived this before.
And so, Brandon, how do we change that mindset and that message? Because right now, you and I could walk in Sacramento and we could talk to a million people. And you know what half of them would say? I've never used my voice before. I've never had the courage to stand up and really say how I feel at work with my husband, with my kids. How do we get him to change, Brandon, and just get into the baby step mindset?
And this is perfect. Like, I always believe that everything happens for a reason. So today's topic has been what I've been discussing on AskBrandonNow.com for over 2 weeks straight. People are wondering, like, what's that chunk size that makes me move forward? You know what it is? You have to want it. You have to want to move towards that thing that you're afraid of, or you wouldn't be there at all. If you didn't want to move forward, it wouldn't even be scary because you could just turn left. So you have to want what you're going after. If you don't want it, it's like living in a bubble that doesn't want to grow. Then everything's going to be the same, right? You're like that little fish swimming around the bowl going, I want that. I want that. But you never do anything to jump out of the bowl. You've got to want it and you got to move forward towards it.
You see, that's what I love, Brandon. You give me goosebumps. You make me want to be a better person. You make me want to go after our goals. How about your clients, Brandon? How do you get your clients to want it?
You ask them, what do you want? And more importantly, what will having that do for you? And once they've determined that they want something and how it's going to change them, then they'll want to make the steps to change themselves to grow that way. If we all had everything we wanted, we would never change. We'd be the same person we were in third grade. Everything I ever wanted is right here. I got a pencil, a paper, and a Hot Wheels. You have to change and want to grow.
You know what else I want, Brandon? In third grade, my Rawlings baseball glove and Mr. Ormsby's glass.
Yeah, we all had those ones. I mean, I always wanted the stompers. I had to have a new one like every month that had bigger wheels and a racer. I was like, let's go for it.
Brandon, I love when you are in studio. My heart feels better. You heard what Brandon said. He talked about what it is that you want. Well, I got news for you. If you want to own a home in Sacramento, I've got our radio show's real estate expert coming in next, and she's going to tell you how you can live the American dream. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show right after this. Surf is definitely up on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, good morning, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. And as you can hear, the surf is definitely up in Sacramento because I've got Renee Nielsen in studio. And I love her because you know what she talks about? You. And you live in the American dream. Good morning, Renee, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you.
All right, Renee, what is going on in Sacramento, right? We've got a sexy, hot real estate market. Tell me the mindset of people that are out there looking to buy a home.
Well, we definitely have a hot market. I will tell you, though, that there's some things that are super important now as much as before, and they really want a property that has value to them. So it depends on what kind of buyer you are. If you are a buyer that wants to have a move-in ready home, you know, you want a home that has good quality features to it. You don't want to get in a home and figure out that you have to, you know, replace all the windows and the water heater and all of those kinds of things. So that might provide value. You know, you want a kick-ass home, basically. And then if you are a contractor and you're looking to redo a home, you want a home that you can, that there's money in it, equity you can build into the home yourself. So it depends on what kind of buyer you are, but you're definitely looking for value.
You know, Renee, I'm so glad that you brought in the two different types of buyers, right? We've got the normal dude that wants to get that nice home, that things are already looking sexy. And we've got the other guy that's got the vision to maybe fix it up. Tell us about the latter and the problems that do arise, though, Renee, when you get a home, when you get a contractor involved, when you're looking to flip. Let's just talk about the ugly. We know the good and the bad, but give me the ugly.
Ronnie, you really want to have an amazing team and the timetables all figured out and really have people that can commit to you both in quality of construction and also their timetables and just for sure double check that they're able to do what they say that they're going to do. For more questions on this, give me a call at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832.
And so, Renee, how do we ensure that the real estate market stays strong? What is your thought on tax reform and the collateral effect that it could have if it doesn't happen?
So California is different than a lot of other states. So right now they're looking at removing the mortgage interest deductions and the write-offs and or the itemizations and those kinds of things. So it affects Californians very, very differently. We really, really want to have those write-offs and we really want to have the mortgage interest deduction because we want people who want to buy homes and they want to, and that translates over to people who need to sell their homes. We want to, you know, if the market's not moving, that means that the market potentially could be going down and we want people to keep the value in their homes.
That's what I love about you, Renee. You actually care about your clients and you want them to own real estate and you want them to live the American dream. Let's talk about something very sexy, and that is the 1031 exchanges. Because let's face it, Renee, we don't know what's going to happen with tax reform. We've got senators and people in Congress that are incompetent idiots. What about the 1031? How sacred and sexy is that?
Okay, so let me just say that the last few months I've been hearing that the 1031 will be affected with tax reform, but then it's kind of dropped off. I don't hear that much about it anymore. And you know that the bills are all changing on a daily basis. So basically 1031s, it's an exchange of property, like for like. It's investment property. So for example, if you're a farmer and you've worked your whole life on a farm, but now you want to move your assets somewhere else and have that money work for you in a different type of real estate property, you want to be able to take that money from the sale of that property and move it over into another property. If you have questions on the 1031, give me a call at 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. And I want to add one other thing about the 1031. So a 1031 is kind of like your 401k. When you want to switch from one asset to another and not have to pay out to the government in between, that's where the 1031 kind of keeps you safe. So investment properties, you know, if you have a rental or something like that and you have a bad renter and you want to get rid of that particular property and move that money into a different rental that'll attract a different renter, that's who's affected by a 1031.
Now let's talk about Sacramento, Renee. We know that we are our state's capital. We've got all sorts of politicians, some that I can't stand. What I want to know is, you got people moving into Sacramento from higher priced areas, Renee, the Bay Area, Los Angeles. How is their cash affecting our market up here?
They have such a good standard of living to come to. I have to say, we're so lucky here in Sacramento. And they get to experience a really nice quality of life here and keep the communities at a stable level of growth. So we like them and what they contribute. My number is 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. If you have any questions on moving your money over here and finding a kick butt property.
Renee, you and I were talking about Airbnb the other night when we went to that crazy iHeartMedia party in Sacramento. How fun was that, by the way?
Oh my God, that was so much fun.
What I want to know is, can you educate people about Airbnb and why you wanted to talk about that?
You know what? I have not had anyone talk to me about Airbnb until a few months ago, and it's now kind of the cool thing for investment properties. I have people who have homes in the Bay Area, and they're renting them out, and they've been very kind to their renters, and they only get a certain amount of money per month, and they're thinking about selling that property, moving it over to a property that's over by the beach, and really kicking butt on the amount of money that they can bring in on a rental property. So they're thinking of just, you know, doing a different kind of rental. So people are excited about what Airbnb brings to them.
Okay, so you're saying, Renee, that people are looking at these properties and they're thinking, I got a tenant in there, but they're paying $5,000 a month and I can rent it out and get $15,000 a month to people traveling. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Your numbers are a little off. They might be really kind and renting it for $2,000 or something a month where they're getting by, but it's not the kind of investment that you really want to see. And yes, they can get a whole lot more money in the right situation with the right property. If you'd like to know more about that, my number is 833-697-3832.
My last question for you, Renee, has to do with that first-time home buyer, right? They could be young. They could be a millennial. They could be middle-aged like me, or they could be older. What are you seeing? What is their mindset, Renee, when you are approaching a first-time home buyer?
First-time home buyers don't really understand the process. And that's okay. You can't really expect them to. It's really like a part-time job. And until you do it a few times and really get in the habit of all the things that you need to think of, you don't really know. I have a great mortgage company, Prime Lending of Roseville, that I work with. And they will help those first-time home buyers do all the paperwork that they need to do. And we want them to do it before we go out shopping. We want to be very specific about exactly what we're looking for. And because somebody thinks that they qualify at a certain dollar amount, we want to double check that that's the price point that feels comfortable for them when they're buying a home. We don't want them to overspend. We want to figure all of those details out before we go shopping, so we're not wasting their time or mine. They have a good experience too.
Are the majority of these buyers then already pre-approved, Renee? So you already know the range that they're buying in?
Oh, I help them get pre-approved. Like,
wonderful.
That is the key. They have to be pre-approved. This market moves way too fast. They're going to find the most amazing home, and you know, the perfect fit. It's hard to come by. They're going to find the most amazing home, and then they're not going to be able to get it because they didn't do all the due diligence first of what they need to do. If you have questions on getting pre-approved, my number is 833-697-3832. That's 833-697-3832. Let's get you guys taken care of.
All right, everybody. I love talking to Renee, but I love drinking beer with her even better. I need you to stick around because I've got an unbelievable discussion about the Green Berets in Africa who were killed, and it's very meaningful. All that is coming up next on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Ronnie Deutsch. We'll be back with more right after this. And now, back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show. I'm your host, Ronnie Deutsch. And before I get into this next segment, I just wanted to remind you that if you want to hear any of our previous radio shows, please check out our beautiful website, ronniedeutschradio.com. Now, as many of you know, I'm a proud supporter of our military and the men and women who serve our great country. You see, my mom's only brother, my Uncle Julie, he proudly served in our military where he lost a leg and ultimately died because of his medical complications. So believe me, our family totally understands the drill all too well. And that's why this segment is so important to me. After all, on October 4th, four Green Berets stationed in Niger, Africa, they died while they were serving our country. And their names are Staff Sergeant Dustin Wright, who was 29 years old. May you rest in peace. Staff Sergeant Brian Black, 35 years old. Rest in peace. Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Johnson, 39 years old. May you rest in peace. And Staff Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, who was only 25 years old. May you rest in peace. Now, what this means is that while you and I and my producer, Mike, you see, we get to enjoy our weekend, these four brave men are dead. And their moms and their dads and their wives and their girlfriends and their children and their siblings and their extended families, they're stuck with the awful pain and the grief and the misery that comes with losing someone you love, especially someone you love who dies serving our country while protecting the very freedoms that so many people in our country take for granted every single day. And this includes you, overpaid politicians in California and in Washington, because I believe you've lost sight of what really matters. So my first question for all of you this morning, it's pretty simple. Why were these four young men killed in Niger on October 4th when they could have been home with their families and loved ones? I mean, why do we have 6,000 American soldiers stationed in Africa, of all places? I mean, think about that for a minute. Do you realize that every single day, 6,000 of your kids are stationed in Africa trying to protect us from terrorists who have no regard whatsoever for your life or your children's lives? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't make military decisions for a living. I'm not a five-star general, and I'm certainly not a colonel. Thankfully, I'm a radio show host, so I don't have to play war games or battleship games for a living. Now, believe me, when I own the largest law firm of its kind in the country with thousands of employees and 100,000 clients, I assure you, every day felt like war to me. It felt like a battle, man. It felt like we had to have our guns loaded to fight back because the regulatory environment in California is awful. But the thing is, we've got politicians that do not understand our soldiers need better than what they're getting. Because the difference is, I don't serve in the military. My producer Mike doesn't serve in the military. We're not stationed in Africa. No, 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 no. We get to go home at night, right? We get to have that love fest with the people we love. But the problem is, our military, man, they're not getting what they deserve. So I want to know this. How is it possible with today's high-powered military surveillance systems, including drones, right, and inside information, how was it possible that these four soldiers were ambushed and killed? I mean, why in the world would any U.S. troop stationed in Africa or stationed anywhere, for God's sakes, drive in an unarmored pickup truck with limited weaponry and a few dozen Nigerian counterparts? I mean, do you realize the insanity of having these soldiers drive anywhere in Africa with an unarmored car? The problem with the definition of insanity, though, is that we don't change our behavior. The military needs to put more money into our servicemen and women so that this stops happening. I mean, who made the decision to allow these four young men to get killed, to be driving in an unarmored car in Africa? Okay? Can you please explain to me who set these young kids up to be sitting ducks? Because when you drive in a sitting duck type of car in Africa without the right military protection, you're going to get ambushed and you're going to die like these four brave men were. They were killed, man, by a bunch of cowards. We're talking about a 30-minute assault. Now, I don't know about you, but the only thing that I love to do for 30 minutes, certainly I can't say on this PG-13 radio show, but I love to surf. Now, can you imagine for 30 minutes having somebody shoot guns at you? Doesn't that sound like a little bit of overkill? Because after these 30 minutes, three U.S. troops were confirmed dead, and two more were gravely injured. And another, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, that guy was missing. And do you realize that his body wasn't even recovered for another 2 days? Now, let's face it, okay? The French military, they showed up and they helped to evacuate the survivors. And I want to thank you for doing that. That was kind of you. But I still want to come back to my core question, okay? Because I'm mad this morning. These guys are dead and their families are never going to be the same. I still come back. Why do we need 6,000 of our men and women stationed in Africa? I mean, why can't the French take over, right? The French are there. Why can't the British take over? I mean, aren't they there as well? At this point, can't we all agree that we need these service people back here in America? You know why? Because America is under attack, man. Not only is America under attack by our own Republican Party and senators who are disgraceful, but we are under attack by that wacko in North Korea. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got a dude who's threatening to nuke us, right? And we've got troops all over the place. Bring our men and women home. Because you know what? It's not working. You got military down in Japan on boats and they're dying. You got military out in Africa being ambushed and dying. It's not working, okay? Do we need to put more money into it? I don't know. But I am sick and tired of seeing caskets come back into America with the American flag draped over it. And I'm tired of seeing moms and dads and children crying. Because you know what? We have got difficult questions that we've got to answer. You ready? What went wrong in Africa? And what is going wrong in Japan and what is going on in the Middle East and what's going wrong in our country. Do you realize the questions that are unanswered? We got politicians who would rather spend their time slinging mud at one another than resolving the problems. You see, I hate people who do not solve problems. I despise politicians who create more problems. Because you know what we need? We need unity. Now, I realize that many of you who listen to my show are military men and women, because I receive emails from you, and I thank you for those emails. And I realize that the U.S. military, right, they've been training soldiers out in Niger since the early 2000s. And they were doing it for what? To improve the country's military capacity. However, in recent years, man, the U.S. footprint, it's growing in Africa. And I don't like it. I do not like the fact that we have soldiers who are defending every other country but our own. Where's our military here in America? We need you. We need you in Puerto Rico. We need you in Texas. We need you in Florida. And I think politicians everywhere need to see you, because our politicians can't see beyond their ugly noses. So again, to the four men and their families who lost these brave souls, may you rest in peace. All right, everybody, I want you to have an unbelievable weekend, because the bottom line is there's just no guarantee. Thank you for your love. I look forward to seeing you next weekend on the Ronnie Deutsch Radio Show.